continuing, we left off last week, we were talking about the strings, the status of the strings in the tzitzis, and we spoke a little bit about how many strings have to be, the Torah, if you can add to the strings, not add to the strings, but assuming that we have the right number of strings, the question we have to now deal with, what halacha is governing the making of these strings? So here the Gemara tells us, in Maseches Sukkah and Daftes, and in Maseches Menachos, in the Sukkah of Tzitzis, that the making of the Tzitzis strings have to be done L'shma. The Gemara derives this from a Pasuk. Kedilim Ta'asa L'cha. L'cha means L'shem Chovcha, L'shem Mitzvascha. Certain Cheftah Shal Mitzvahs that have to be prepared in the Torah require to be made L'shma and certain don't. How do you know which is which? So the Gemara says it all boils down to Pesukim. The Torah Shema Peh explains to us that it does, and not. So let's say the Mashal, Tefillin have to be made L'shma, that everybody agrees to. So if the Torah has to be written L'shma, everybody agrees to. Even a Get has to be written L'shma, everybody agrees to. A Sukkah, so that's Machlokes B'Sha'ah B'Sillah, and we paskin that a Sukkah doesn't really have to be made L'shma. So when it comes to Tzitzis, we paskin that Tzitzis do. The strings have to be made L'shma. It's based on this Rosh, Shekadim Tassel L'chol L'Shem, L'choyivcha. What exactly does it mean that it has to be made l'shma? Which part of making of the tzitzis has to be made l'shma? So there are really two different parts of the preparation of the tzitzis strings. We're not even talking about connecting the strings to the beged yet. We're nowhere near that. We're talking about just the manufacturing of the strings themselves. So the strings have to, let's say, assuming they're made from wool. Most of our strings today, all of our strings today are made from wool. So you got to go somehow from the wool of the animal onto making the strings. So some, there are a lot of things along the way which have to be done. Which one of those procedures has to be done, the Shema? So the Gemara speaks about the Tviya Sachutir, about the spinning of the wool, the forming of the wool from the balls of wool into the strings of wool. That's the Tviya, that's the Ikar Din of the Shema. If the strings were not Nitvu L'Shma, then they're going to be possible even Min HaTorah. What exactly does L'Shma mean? How do you make sure that something is done L'Shma? So this was a big machlekes in the Rishonim, something that permeates all areas of L'Shma, of Gittin, and Tipitayr, and Tefillin. So comes Rabbeinu Baruch, in one of the Rishonim, one of the Baal HaTais, Rabbeinu Baruch, who says that he's not sure when the Halacha speaks about something being done L'Shma, does it have to be verbally L'Shma? Means before you do the process, you have to say, Hidin Yimuchah Mizum, L'Shem Mitzvah Tzitzis, or L'Shem Matzah Mitzvah, L'Shem Get, whatever the required L'Shma is. Or is that enough just that a person should think L'Shma? As long as you had in mind L'Shma, that's also good enough. So says Rabbeinu Baruch, he thinks that we can extrapolate from Hidin Nuchos Kabanos. In Nuchos Kabanos, there's a halacha that if I shech the korban, or I do some of the Avedis Adam of the korban, if I do it Shalom L'Shma, if I do it for a different reason, that can sometimes invalidate the korban. It depends on, these are details of Maseches Vachim. Let's say, for example, korban chatas. If a person brings the korban chatas, and he shechs the korban chatas l'shem shlomim, l'shem ola, so the korban chatas is possible even with the evid. So there's a machlekes at Rishonim in Maseches Vachim. What does it mean, he shechted it shalom l'shma? So some of the Rishonim say what that means, he said shalom l'shma. That's what Tosfos writes. He mamish verbalized shalom l'shma. But the guy thinks, that doesn't count. He has to actually verbalize it in order to pass on the korban. And other Rishonim, such as the Rambam, seem not to say that way. They seem to assume that shalom l'shma means just thinking. Whatever a person thinks, that also counts in terms of potentially disqualifying the korban. So Rabbeinu Baruch writes that just that there's a machlokes that Rishonim in terms of shalom l'shma, that machlokes should carry over in terms of l'shma also. Those areas of halacha, such as making tzitzis, making matzahs, writing a get, where the halacha requires an act of l'shma, is l'shma mean just mindset, just having a mind, l'shem shma, hinimuchum zumen in my mind, or does it mean to actually articulate the l'shma? So there's a sofik of halacha, so we're not sure how to be machriya the shayla, so therefore all the posts came right. Chatchila, when you make tzitzis, avadav, I mean, not when we make tzitzis, I'm talking about when you're making the strings, when they're manufacturing the strings, avadav, they should be said l'shma, we shouldn't just rely on thought alone, there should be an official dibur l'shma. Very good. So because the din requires that the tzitzis have to be made l'shma, then you have to look into which individuals can create a l'shma. So the Gemara has in Maseches Gittin that a goy cannot write a get. A goy writes a get, so the get is no good. Even if the Jew is standing there and telling the goy, do l'shma, it's goy nishkaf, doesn't help. The Gemara says that akum adaiti dinafshika of it. That even though the Jew is telling him what to do, it still doesn't matter, the get's going to be puzzled. So come a group of Rishonim and say, well, if it's possible in Hilchos Gittin, then should possible in Hilchos Tzitzis as well. So a goy wouldn't be acceptable to be the one to manufacture the tzitzis. There are others who disagree. There are some Rishonim who say, also happens to be Rabbeinu Baruch. Rabbeinu Baruch suggests that maybe the fact that a goy can't do things l'shma, maybe that's limited only to something which takes a lot of time. Writing again takes a long time. It's a half hour, they have to pay attention every letter. The goy's not going to be able to halt cup in that. Tvias HaTzitzis, how long does it take to spin the wool? I don't even know. Turn the spinning wheel one time, I have no idea. So if the spinning wheel takes a very short amount of time, maybe the goy can hold a couple of that, maybe. Yeah, the halacha, obviously, we're not going to have goyim manufacturing HaTzitzis, we're cheshesh, that if a goyim manufactures HaTzitzis, maybe the tzitzis are possible in the Minat Torah. But the real question that comes up for us practically, in terms of the Tvias HaChutim, is the issue of machine. Can tzitzis be made by machine? Can they be manufactured? Can you do the spinning process by machine? Does that qualify as lishma or not? So the truth is, this already goes way beyond just the chus tzitzis. This, of course, is relevant in terms of chus matzah. Any area of halacha that requires lishma, is a machine acceptable or not? So this was a big machlokes in Europe when machines first came out, 150 years ago, when the issue became relevant. The question is the person understanding that, like the old days, like 500 years ago. No, but the person, he's doing the motions. He's doing the motion as the wool is spinning. And the machines is, you press a button and you go to sleep, and the whole thing takes place. But
unlike matzah getting all the other things, tzitzis requires some type of mechanical. Whether you're doing by hand, you're rotating the loom.
That may all the difference in the world. I'm not sure what's the loom. I guess the loom is for the weaving. The only reason I know that is because my kids now play with the looms. We got a little excited with the rubber band looms. Now we have new Charles Derices of those.
But
those
you machines. Can't crochet
to this. Right, right. Okay, right. So, but I don't know all that much. Check with me on Wikipedia about the weaving, the spinning. But the bottom line is the way spinning was done 500 years ago is not the same way it's being done today in the factories. There's no person there sitting and turning, with the Sleeping Beauty, turning the spinning wheel. So the question is, I think that was the right character, right? Is that right? The spinning wheel? Isn't she the one who pricks the... No, right? Right? Oh, I got it. Okay, good. Here's the Yankees. Okay, anyway, getting back to the story. So the place where the big machlokes in Europe 150 years ago when they first started the machines and the Industrial Revolution made its way to Eastern Europe. So the place can start to discuss the shines. What's the deal? Can you save a lot of time in manufacturing tzitzis based on machines? Or then when the matzah factories made their way in, can you have machine matzahs? It'll save a lot of time, a lot of effort, keep the cost down. So this was a big machlekes at poskim in Europe. Does that qualify as the shma now? So some poskim said, chalila v'chalila, that's not the shma. The shma has to be tvias agavra, it's got to be a tvias agavra, it's got to be a person. This is not called the shma. And other poskim said, why is it not called the shma? There is a gemara in Maseches Chulin, in Maseches Sanhedrin, that speaks about a shaila in terms of shechita and in terms of retzicha. We spoke about this, I think we gave a shiur about this last year, if I'm not mistaken, in the Gemara. The Gemara speaks about both in terms of retzicha and in terms of shechita. The halacha requires kerech gavra. The only time that a shechita is an acceptable shechita is if a person shechts, the animal somehow got shechted by itself. A knife fell out and fell off the table and just happened to cut the animal's neck. That's not an acceptable shechita. Even if the shechita was physically done properly, you require a person to shech. You require kerech gavra. Or in the realm of retzicha, the only time a person is chayef for killing somebody is only if he actually did ma'aseh retzicha. If somebody gets killed through grumma, I set up a system that 10 years from now ends up killing somebody, I'm not going to be chayef. That's what's called gram retzicha. The Gemara says gram retzicha is punishable in Beis Din Shalmala, but it's not punishable in Beis Din Shalmata. So both in the sugya of retzicha, in the sugya of shechita, the Gemara discusses the scenario of a... If I take a case of the retzich, I take a person, I tie the person up by the side of the river, and nothing's going to happen to the person yet. The water's not going to drown him. But then I go ahead and I move the dam out of place. If I'm moving the dam out of place, so now the water comes shooting down and ends up drowning the person. So Gemara raises the shaila. What's it? Am I a retzich be a daimon? A good person I'm not, but am I a retzich be a daimon? Am I chayim mises based in a not? I think it's the exact same shaila about shechita. If I take an animal, I put the animal right by the side of the river, and I set up a water wheel, and the water wheel has knives on it, kosher knives. Check it out; it's perfect. The knives on the water wheel. The water wheel's not going yet. And I go ahead and I pull away the dam, and that causes the water to rush down, and the water pushes around the wheel. Now the shechita takes place. The Gemara has the exact same shaila in both places. And the Gemara relates, says it's the same question. Is that considered to be a ma'aseh b'yadayim or not? So this is a very, very primitive kind of a machine. It means I'm not doing something literally b'yadayim, I'm pulling something away, which is causing, setting a system into place, which is eventually killing the person, or eventually shechting the animal. So the Gemara raises the question, is that considered to be my ma'aseh or not? So Rav Papa says that the answer to that question is, it depends. It depends whether it's called Kech Rishon or whether it's called Kech Sheni. If it's Kech Rishon, it's a first, my initial force, so that's considered to be my Maisa, I'm Chayav Bisa Meshchitas Kosher. If it's Kech Sheni, if it's a secondary force, that's considered to be no longer my Maisa, it's only called Grama, and therefore I'm Potter and Bezen Shalmata, and the Shchita would not be acceptable. So the multi-million dollar question is, what do those words mean? What is Kech Rishon, what is Kech Sheni? And we know how to translate the words, first force, second force, but we have no idea what these concepts mean. So there's a major machlekes in Rishonim, just how to explain what the scenario is. So Rashi learns in both places that Kerech Rishon means that it happens immediately. As soon as I pull away the dam, so right away the water comes rushing, and the person or the animal is mamish right there. So it happens, kibat, or just about instantaneously, it happens. That's called Kerech Rishon. If it takes a while, because the person is 50 feet away from where the water is. So I pull away the dam over here, now the water starts to go, and 10 minutes later, it kills the person, 10 minutes later, the shechita takes place, that's already too far removed. So according to Rashi, it's a question of time/distance. If it's an immediate reaction, that's called Kerech Rishon. If it's a delayed reaction, that's called Kerech Sheni. Because the problem with Rashi is, how do you measure? Where's the cutoff point? Rashi doesn't tell you. Is 2 seconds a cutoff point? 5 seconds? 10 seconds? It's very unclear from Rashi. So later, I'm going to try to fill in the gaps. What's considered to be the cutoff point? But there's something to do with an immediate effect. And the other Rishon, the Ramah, so Rameir Alevi, he has a different shot in the Gemara Maseches Sanhedrin. He quotes the possibility, maybe it's not so much a function of time and distance, but it's a function of the force that I'm creating, the water that's being brought in. Is it going directly, or is it stopping and starting? So if the water starts to go out of the dam, and it collects in a hole. There's a ditch between where I pulled the dam from and where the person is lying, or where the animal is lying. So if the water goes to down, collects in a ditch, and sits there for a few minutes, and then eventually gets more water and eventually comes out, that's already considered to be a break. And once the water has stopped at some point, it's not flowing anymore, now it restarts again, that's not my problem. That's not my koyach, and therefore I wouldn't be chayav for that, bezin shamata, and it wouldn't be a kosher shechita. But if the water is going, there's a constant flow of the water, so even though it's taking time, even though I pulled the dam over here, and 20 miles down, the person is killed, but the water is always on the move, so that's considered to be my ma'isa. So according to the Rabbah, it doesn't matter how long it takes. As long as it's not interrupted, that's also considered to be my ma'isa. So Reb Chaim Eizer has a tshuva, famous tshuva about electricity, when he discusses about whether electricity is considered to be b'yadayim and not. So Reb Chaim Eizer quotes this whole sugya, and he says, when you learn through this whole sugya, you'll see that of course it's b'yadayim. A person pulls a switch, so I press the button, pull the switch, so what happens? So everything happens immediately, there's no break immediately, and the process starts right away. And nothing, there's no interruption. It's not that the electrons start flowing, then they stop, they take a little break, take a little relaxation, and come back 10 minutes later. It's mamash, everything's basachas. I press the button, and the light goes on. So says Reb Chaim Eizer, that's not called grama, that's called biyadai mamash. That would be havara deraisa, that would be melocha deraisa. So according to that svara, that we view electricity as being, it's just everything's happening right away. It's considered to be little like Kerech Rishon. So some folks can want it to be matir. Any machine that's being done through electricity, so it's automatically called Kerech Rishon. You press the button, and everything starts right away. So it's all considered to be an extension of what I'm doing. It's considered to be a Ma'aseh Adam, and that would be acceptable for Lishma. That's what some folks can say. Others disagree. The Moshul's not right, whatever it is. So this was an argument back and forth in the folks in Europe. So we pass in the Ikamik Radin, we assume that it's okay. Because Haraya, many people use machine matzahs for the Seder. The matzahs for the Seder have to be baked lishma. We have to have matzahs, they have to be made lishma, we assume. Those who hold that machines are not lishma, they would never ever dream of using machine matzahs by the Seder, and others do. You know, in Europe, there were different traditions about the using of the machine matzahs. There are Adiyam Azed, there are some who prefer machine matzahs. Some of the real, real hardcore misnagdim, so some of them will actually dafka use machine matzahs. They feel that the machine matzahs are more controllable in terms of chametz, and keep a better eye on the machine matzahs. There's less of a fear of chametz. So some of the real, real litvaks will insist on using machine matzahs, even at the Seder, whereas the Chassid Chassidim won't touch Mishin Matzahs. They won't touch it because they don't think it's Lishma. They won't touch it because they chashish that it's chametz. Because it has to be. Because the truth is that the early machines, 150 years ago, the early machines weren't so good. So Taka, there were problems with chametz in them. Now, Baruch Hashem, the machines are significantly better than they were years ago. So again, the HBH, different traditions, whether we assume that the Mishin Matzahs are acceptable, perhaps even preferable. So those who accept Mishin Matzahs will accept the Mishin Sittas as well.
Again, can you hold one and not hold the other? I mean, if you hold it,
the machine matzahs are no good, right? So the poskim, the Litvish poskim, most of them held that the machine matzahs were fine. They held that they weren't considered to be grum, but they were considered to be mamash lishma.
There's no grum in general.
Well, they felt that this didn't meet the criteria of grum. This is considered to be kerech rishon. There were other poskim who said that the whole sugi of kerech rishon, kerech sheni is not relevant here. Those klom are only relevant in issues of ritzicha and shchita, where there's a higher level of ma'isa adam, in your kerech gavra. Whereas by lishma, you don't even need that. By lishma, as long as think of lishma, that's good enough. You know, even idea grumma maybe would be acceptable. So again, as far as lakan, most of us use the hand. Most of us, if I use the hand masses by the Seder, I'm not saying because we're choshish that the others are not kosher, but just because we like a little more ancient, traditional look to it. But in terms of tzitzis, probably most of us use the hand tzitzis also. But that you can tell, you take a look in the store when you buy a pair of tzitzis, it will say on it tvias yad and not avodis yad. It says on it avodis yad, so then you hope that it was made by hand. If it's not avodis yad, it's going to be cheaper. So that's the bottom line. It's the better quality tzitzis are going to be made by hand. I remember my first year in NYU, there was a tzitzis sale, but an SOY tzitzis sale. So they put up a big sign saying that we have all the chumras, all the hidurim, coming by tzitzis. So they were listing off all the different hidurim. So I remember this big sign in Spanish that said that all the strings are made lishma by avodis yad, and all the begadim are made lishma by avodis yad also. All the begadim. So the begadim are made in China. Some guy's spinning. There's no chumra. Begadim are made out of anything. So you want chumras. Another dollar for that chumra also. Okay, anyway. So the tvi is the critical part of the making of the strings. That for sure has to be done lishma. There's another part of the making of the strings is that once the strings are ready made into individual strings, then there's a process that's called shazira. Shazira means, if you take a look at the tzitzis strings, you see every string is made up, each one of the eight strings, or four strings, are made up of a bunch of little strings that are all winded together, all twisted together. That's what's called shazira. So where does that come from? Where does it say that you require shazira? So the answer is, if you look in the Gemara Befeirush, it doesn't say it explicitly. There's a Gemara Maseches Eruvin that talks about if a person finds strings that were woven together, can he assume that they were probably tzitzis strings or not? So you see in the Gemara that the practice was to do that. But the Gemara doesn't say Befeirush, Amar B'yechanan, Chayvanum, Shazras, that's it. There's no such Gemara. But there is a Sifrei. The Sifrei, written by the Tanoim, comments that, based on a drash of a pasuk, that each of the strings of the tzitzis has to be twisted together, made up of a bunch of other strings. That's what's the process called shazira. So Rova Rishonim quote the Sifrei Lalocha, and even though it doesn't appear in the Gemara explicitly, the Gemara does say that was the practice, so it appears that was the practice, because that was the halacha. So that's what it says in Shulchan Aruch, that shazira is necessary, but the Rambam disagrees. The Rambam writes that there is no such halacha. So there's a tshuva that the Rambam writes, that some of his contemporaries, he asked him, how come he doesn't paskin like this Sifrei? The Sifrei says Beferish. So the Rambam writes, he says, but the Gemara never says it. So there's no Gemara that says it. There are 10 blot of the Gemara, all about everything you have to know about making tzitzis. And the Gemara never says a word about shazira. There's a Gemara tucked away, half a line at the end of Erevin, that says that they used to make shazira, but the Gemara never says you have to make shazira. So the Rambam says, you want to do shazira, make shazira. I want to make sure you don't do shazira. But notwithstanding the shit that's around Rambam, we pass like Rova Rishon. We pass it that the tzitz, each string must be made into a twisty. And therefore, we assume it's the Shalva Deraisa, perhaps derived from Sukkim, as the Sifrei says. What exactly does that mean, that it has to be Shazira? So Shazira means a minimum of two. You have to have what's called Kofel Shnayim. You have to have each string has to be at least made up of two smaller strings. So our minig is that we do what's called Kofel Shmoina. It's what it says on the when you buy tzitzis, it says on a Kofel Shmoina. Where did that come from? So that's already a Chumra, it's a Midas Chassidus. That's not Bikra Din, that it should be like the Big De Kahuna, and then the climb of the Mishkan, everything was kafel shmoin, everything was twisted together with eight different strings. So we do that in that set of strings, but that's not going to be a ma'akev. when you have Shazira, so the Magen Avraham raises the question, does the Shazira have to be made Lishma also? So Magen Avraham says, yeah. He says, if we pass here in Gedilum Tasa L'chod, the Asiya said Tzitzis has to be Lishma. It doesn't say in the Chumash Tevia. It says the Asiya. Whatever is considered to be part of the Asiya said Tzitzis has to be done Lishma. So the Magen Avraham says, well, if the Tevia has to be done Lishma, and Shazira is necessary, we don't follow the Rambam, so you put two and two together, so the Shazira has to be done Lishma as well. So the Mishnah Berurah writes that a lot of people are not so careful about that. A lot of people, I wouldn't know what's going on in the factory, but or in the hands, whatever it is, but the Mishnah Berurah says, he's looking around, he sees a lot of people making tzitzis, and they're not really doing the Shazira Lishma. So he suggests that maybe one could argue that the Minhag HaOlam is based on the following, that when it comes to the Tviya, so you do the Tviya, and then you do the Shazira soon afterwards. So once you already did the Tviya, it's understood that you're going to do the Tviya with the Shazira. When we say something has to be Lishma, that means you have to talk about it every 5 seconds. You have to, like you're baking matzah, so matzah makers, you have to say every second, L'shayim matzah mitzvah, L'shayim matzah, that's what they do, but you don't have to do that. You just have to say it at the beginning. As long as you said it right before you started, L'shayim matzah mitzvah, that's good enough. If I can't, according to half the Rishonim, you don't even have to say it, you just have to think it. But even though we're machmir to say it, so you said it once, so that's going to carry you over. So it could be that once you said, I'm doing it in the shape tzitzis, so I'm doing it in the shape tzitzis, finish. Once we already started the process, so whatever different svaras that they give. So maybe that's why people aren't as careful about the formally doing the shazir lishma. But afa b'chein, Mishnah Berurah says you should do it. You should, I imagine when they do today's world, they probably do the shazir explicitly. I'm assuming, I'm hoping that that's what's being done. But the Mishnah Berurah is B'la Mitzchos, even if they don't, it's not the end of the world. The Shaziris Atzitzis sometimes causes problems in Uchos Tzitzis because the strings tend to unwind. Especially the lower quality tzitzis. So after a little bit of time, usually after one good washing in the machine, which probably shouldn't be taking place, especially you know, with the kids. When your wives throw the kids' tzitzis into the washing machine, so inevitably they're going to start to unravel at the bottom. So the question is, when they start to unravel at the bottom, then you're losing your shazira. So the Shulchan Aruch says, okay, so you're losing your shazira. So what? It's not going to be totally unwell. It's going to be a little bit unwell. So then we'll talk about this hopefully a little bit later on. What are the ramifications when the tzitzis cut off? What if they mamash forget about the shazira unwinding? What if the whole string gets ripped off? So we'll talk about the details of that later on. But the question is, does this cause any serious problems? The fact that the shazira is unwinding. So the Mishnah Berurah quotes a very strange kind of a chumrah that some Acharonim have in terms of the Shazira unwinds, which is a throwback to what we spoke of last week. It says the Mishnah Berurah, maybe if the Shazira starts to unwind, it touches on a shot of Bal Tosif. It's Bal Tosif, what? Now you have more than four strings. Now you have, depending on how unwinding your strings are, now you got a bunch of strings. So says the Mishnah Berurah, maybe that's a problem. Maybe that's an issue of Bal Tosif. So how do you solve the problem of Bal Tosif? So Mishnah Berurah says that Bal Tosif is only violated if a person has Kavanah L'Hosif. If a person says explicitly, I don't want to be Maisif, I'm not interested in those extra Shaziras. So Mishnah Berurah has this Chumrah that if a person sees that his tzitzis are unwinding, so he should say, I don't care about whatever's coming out is bottle. Bottle moves, like Bittul Chometz, Bottle Kafir Diara. Whatever strings are unwinding, I don't want those parts of the strings here. So it's Ke'ilul, Man Talesa Dami, and therefore he's not in violation of Bal Tosif. So the Yerucha Shulchan writes that, we never heard of such a thing. He doesn't quote the Mishnah Berurah, but he quotes those who had such an idea. And the Yerucha Shulchan writes, he says, of course he doesn't want to violate Bal Tosif. Well, you have a habit meter that the guy whose strings were put into the washing machine, oh, Baruch Hashem, now I got 15 strings. Now he needs Mucham Zum to violate Bal Tosif. He says, of course the guy doesn't want to violate Bal Tosif. So it's Batal Ne'ilov. It's like the Gemara says in Pesachim, if you have a crumb somewhere underneath the refrigerator or something, it's Batal Ne'ilov. You don't need Vatal Chametz. Something that's objectively Batal Mavutal. It's Batal Mavutal. So I think that's what the Olam is knowing. I think most people, if you ask most people, when they take their tzitzis and they notice, oh my goodness, one of my strings just frayed, what do I do? Go quickly be Mufato. Most people probably never heard of this tucked away in the middle of a Be'alach and Uchas tzitzis. I think that the Olam is knowing like the Urcha Shulchan. Again, those who know this Mishnah Berurah, so if they ever see that their tzitzis start to unravel, they just either cut it off or Mucham Zum, and I couldn't care less about it. Oh, so that's what other poskim say. Maybe you can avoid the whole problem. Maybe you could tie a knot. If you tie a little knots in the bottom, So that'll solve the entire problem. So the some poskim have a psah chumra, that a psah minig, not to tie knots at the bottom. Why? What's the wrong with tying little knots at the bottom? Because we have a custom of having five knots on the tzitzis. It's not midiraisa, but achim midiraisa. In the Torah, we'll see as we go on, talking about the tzitzis a little bit more, that midiraisa, the tzitzis just have to have a little bit knotted part and a little bit of a free-flowing part, because the Torah calls tzitzis gedilim, and it calls them seal. So a gedil means a cord of a lot of strings that are tied in knots, whereas a psil means something that's just free-flowing. So the Gemara says that we pass, machlokes amaroi, one Amara says that, why does the Torah call it both gedil and psil? So one opinion the Gemara says, because the Torah is giving you an option. You can either have complete gedil, or you can have complete psil, or anything in the above, anything in between, anything goes. And the other day it says, no, you need a little bit of both. It's like chatzi lechem, chatzi l'Hashem. Like the Torah says that on Yom Tov you should eat and drink, and the Torah says Yom Tov should be with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So Rabbi Eliezer says the Torah is giving you an option, either or, and Rabbi Yeshua says no, the Torah is saying you need to complement, you need both parts. It's a similar kind of machlekes. So we pass in the Shulchan Aruch like that opinion that you need a little bit of both. So how much do you need of both? So min haTorah it's not ma'akev. Min haTorah you can have 75% knots, 25% free flow, 2% knots, 98%, it doesn't matter. As long as you have a little bit of knots, a little bit of free flowing strings, so that's going to be good. So we have a minhag that the number of knots are made are 5. Where did that number come from? So it's okay, for the tayyags, 613, with the 8 strings, with the gematria, the whole story. We have the number, the magic number of 5 knots. So it's not ma'akim in a Torah. So some poskim and say that if a person is going to tie a little knot on the bottom of each individual string, so now he's going to have more than 5 knots. It's going to throw off the whole gematria, it's going to throw off the whole zeich, the whole minhag. So therefore it's not appropriate. But other poskim say, well, I'm sorry. The tzitzis knots are the 5 knots. And now I'm just making a little bit on the bottom to prevent the unraveling. The HVH, different been talking about this. I was told that now they have on the bottom of some of the tzitzis strings, they put there's a little glue or something. Is that true? No.
Yeah, somebody put a little glue so it shouldn't unravel.
That's a new shtick, right? Been here? I don't know. Maybe it's on mine. Maybe that's what it's having unravel. I don't know. So they put up this little drop, a little mash of glue to keep them in place. I don't know. Let's take a look. Anyway, whatever it is. Whether they do unravel, don't unravel. The mice says, Mom, they're going to be kosher anyway. Everyone's going to go check. It's glue. I'll taste it from the glue.
You're right.
Stomach again. Stomach, whoever's giving it an episode, stomach went through this again. No, stomach, somebody with mouth breath. We'll have show and tell of tzitzis later on today. Everyone's going to demonstrate. I don't even know what my own tzitzis have on them. So up until now we've been talking about the making of tzitzis, but most of what we've been talking about is the stuff that's taking place in the factories or the handmade tzitzis in terms of the shazira, in terms of the tevia and everything. The question is, what does atzias tzitzis mean for us? So here the question, next level of atzias tzitzis means, I have my begadim, whether the begadim were made lishma or not, depends. I have my strings, hopefully they were made lishma, and now I want to combine the two together, so that's what we call quote-unquote atzias tzitzis. The question is, what halachas govern that? So the first question is, should we even be bothering doing that? Why should we even be talking about, I mean, we could talk about it, but is that something that's relevant for us? Are most of us probably buying pre-made tzitzis? Is there any reason that a person should not be buying the pre-made tzitzis already? So there is a chiddush of the Netziv. The Netziv has a whole shtickl Torah to explain that there's a concept in Halacha called machshirei mitzvah. Machshirei mitzvah means not the mitzvah itself, but it means the preparation for the mitzvah. So sometimes the Torah doesn't really care whether we do the machshirei mitzvah, and sometimes the Torah thinks it's the proper thing for us to make to the machshirei mitzvah. So the mashal, let's say when it comes to a shofar. So a shofar, making of the shofar is machshirei mitzvah. The blowing of the shofar is the mitzvah, but the preparing, the making, taking the animal, taking the horn off the animal, cleaning it up, opening it up, whatever you have to do, I have no idea how to make a shofar. I know more to make tzitzis than to make shofar. But the making of the shofar is machshirei mitzvah. So the tziv raises the question, am I supposed to do that? Is that the right thing to do, that I should go to the animal and go take off the shofar and learn how to make a shofar? Is that something that the Torah wants me to do? That's a type of machshira mitzvah. So the tzif says, no. Says, well, what do I have to do that for? Says, the mitzvah is yom tzuri alechem. The mitzvah is to hear the shofar. So nafkamina how the shofar was made. So look, pati, whether you made it, somebody else made it, you bought it, what's the difference? But the bottom line is the shofar makes it to Shulam Rosh Hashanah, you're there. Somebody's blowing. Sure, it's the mitzvah. So there are certain machshira mitzvah that the Torah really doesn't care about whether the person does it or not. But you have other kinds of machshira mitzvah where the Torah does care about. The Torah wants us, the chadchil at least, to do it. So what? How do you know which is which? So the tzif says, very simple. Many mitzvahs, the Torah doesn't even address the machshirei mitzvah. The Torah doesn't even talk about the machshirei mitzvah. There are no halachas that govern the machshirei mitzvah. Let's say the making of a shofar. So believe it or not, a shofar, one would think, a shofar is kedusha. There's no dinim that govern the making of the shofar. A shofar can be made in Japan. A goy can make a shofar. There's no, it doesn't have to be made lishma. Doesn't have to be mukhram zumim. Nothing. You need a shofar. That's it. Finished. So says the Nitziv, whenever the Torah doesn't even say, the Torah doesn't talk about the making of a shofar. So there are no halachas that govern the making of a shofar. A goy can do it. Somebody else can do it. It doesn't make a difference. But there are other machshirei mitzvah where the Torah does talk about. What are the two mitzvahs that the Nitziv singles out that the Torah does talk about? So one is the building of a sukkah. The Torah says, Chag v'sukkah is tas l'cha shivas yamim. So the Gemara says that tas l'cha doesn't only refer to the celebration of the yamtiv, but tas l'cha means the making of the sukkah itself. And there are halachas that govern the making of the sukkah. Let's say, l'moshel, what's called tas l'cha and asoy. What if a sukkah came about by itself? It means there's a big pile of grain, and I've heard a big pile of straw, and a person comes and makes a hole into the big pile of straw, and now, hocus pocus, he's got himself a sukkah. So he didn't put the straw down, he didn't put the schach down, the schach came into existence because he made a hole into this big pile of straw. So the Mishnah says, b'feirush, b'sech ha-sukkah, that sukkah is possible in the Torah, because it's not called tase. Tase, the Torah Shabbat says, means it has to be made. So the Nitziv says, you see that the Torah is machshir of the asiyas ha-sukkah, that it's called the heksha mitzvah kosam ha-Torah. Unlike shofar, which is a heksha mitzvah she'eino kosa b'Torah, the making of a sukkah is a heksha mitzvah kosa b'Torah. My nafkamina, it's a big nafkamina, says the Nitziv. He says, a heksha mitzvah she'eino kosa b'Torah, there's no reason to go run and do it. There's no hidden, no lechatchila whatsoever to go make your old shofar. But when it comes to making a sukkah, there is a lechatchila mideraisa, there's a mitzvah lechatchila mideraisa to build your sukkah. It doesn't mean it's not kosher if somebody else builds it for you. It's also kosher. But lechatchila, you're supposed to build it yourself. So you should participate in the building of the sukkah. When we speak about the building of the sukkah, we're really referring to the asiyas haschach, the walls. The walls can be up from before also. But the asiyas haschach, they're putting the schach down, lechatchila, everybody should try to participate in that mitzvah. The sukkah is kosher without it. If somebody else builds it for you, it's also kosher. But lechatchila, there's a din derais, according to the Nitziv at least, to actually make the sukkah, to be involved in the building of the sukkah. So the Nitziv gives another example, is the making of tzitzis. It says here also, Kedilim Tazalachot. The Torah speaks about the Asiyas HaTzitzis, and there are dinim about the Asiyas HaTzitzis, Shema, etc. So the Asiyas HaTzitzis, Lechatchila, is supposed to be done by the person himself. So what does that mean? It doesn't mean that the Tvi has to be made by the person. The Shazira means the Asiyah here means the connecting of the strings to the beggar, the tying of the knots, the making, we call the making of the Tzitzis, Lechatchila should be done by you yourself. So this is a Chumra from the Nitziv. So there are some who like to follow this practice, some like to follow this idea that they don't like to buy the pre-made Tzitzis, they like to buy them and strings, and they'll connect to themselves. So not everybody follows this. Not everyone, maybe not everyone agrees with this, whatever it is. So many feel they don't know how to make them properly. They're not going to come out as well. So they buy the pre-made tzitzis. So whatever, those who buy pre-made tzitzis are also kosher. Tzitzis are for sure kosher. But according to this tzitzis, lechatchila, one should try to make their own tzitzis. So those of us who are making our own tzitzis, so should have to be aware specifically of what they should be machped on. What do we have to know about in terms of the making, in terms of the connecting of tzitzis as well. So here we have a big machlekes in Rishonim whether this stage of the making of the tzitzis has to be done lishma or not. So we spoke about the tviya for sure has to be lishma, the shazira maybe lishma also, but here the connecting of the strings into the baghead is actually machlekes in Rishonim. So the Rambam's opinion is that the connecting of the strings doesn't have to be lishma. That's not called the asiyas atzitzis. The asiyas atzitzis gedilim ta'asalcha means the creating of the cheftza of the strings. Once the strings are created, just connecting, putting together the pieces of the puzzle, so the Rambam says that doesn't have to be done lishma. There's no din of lishma in that. And the Rosh says absolutely not. The Rosh says avada that has to be lishma. That's not a question. Avada has to be made lishma. How did the Rambam know that the connecting of the strings doesn't have to be lishma? So the Rambam got it from a diyah from the Gemara. The Gemara Maseches Menachah says that a goy cannot put the strings onto the beggar. That the Gemara is after the pasuk. Da'abel b'nei Yisrael v'lo akum. That if a goy connects the strings to the beggar, those tits are possible in the Torah. So the Rambam asks on the Gemara Kasha, and the Rambam says that how could it be that the Gemara needs a special pasuk to disqualify a goy? Isn't it obvious that a goy is possible? Doesn't it have to be lishma? And a goy can't create lishma? Says the Rambam, you see from here that it doesn't have to be lishma. From the fact that the Gemara had to bend over backwards to find Yadrash, exists a cause of to disqualify the making of tzitzis by a goy, that indicates to us that lishma taka isn't necessary. The Rosh is doichel right. To explain machlokes the Rambam and the Rosh, but it's a good right, not a good right. So in Shulchan Aruch, we pass in that's a sveik of the din. We're not sure what the din is, whether the tzitzis have to be connected to the beggar lishma. Therefore, we insist that it should be done this way. The Shavu Deraisa, so when you make tzitzis, you should have in mind to do it lishma. When we say having in mind to do lishma, is it enough just to have in mind, or do you have to actually verbalize this? This is the old throwback to the old question, does lishma mean verbalization, or does lishma mean just thinking? So we're machmen that also. So therefore, the proper practice when a person makes tzitzis is they should say at the beginning, they don't have to say it every 2 seconds, but they should say, Hareini Yosef Zel Hashem Mitzvah Tzitzis. It should be clear as day at the beginning before you put that first string into the hole. So you're making the tzitzis, L'Hashem Mitzvah Tzitzis, V'lishum Shaila. So the Mishnah Berurah quotes a question, what if a person didn't say it? What if a person thought it, but he didn't actually articulate it? So the Mishnah Berurah says, even though we're not sure what the din is, whether thinking is good enough in this area, but here there's a little bit of a fake. He can rely on the Rambam also. So the Mishnah Berurah paskins that if by mistake a person made tzitzis and forgot to say L'Shma, so the tzitzis are still kosher. Why? Because first of all, who says you have to say Lishma? Maybe thinking Lishma is good enough. And who says there's a new Lishma Lagamri in the realm of connecting the strings? Maybe the Rambam's right. So it's a fake, says the Mishnah Berurah. So we can salvage, we can save those tzitzis that were made, even though they weren't actually articulated in Lishma. But again, that's b'diyev, that's after the fact. But look at Chiba, anyone who makes tzitzis, so should remember, before they put that first string into the begad, Hidni Mukhram Zuman, they should say it l'shem tzitzis. Then they can make the tzitzis, and as long as it takes them to make the tzitzis. So me'ika mikra din, even if they stop in the middle, they come back a few hours later, mikra din, that's also good. It's called also das rishon ho'osa. That's all considered to be part of the original asiya. The chachiva, some poskim say, if you really stop for a long time, you come back 5 hours later, so you say it again. So liyasa says, but me'ika mikra din, as long as the person started the process being said l'shma, so then mikra din, that would be acceptable. Yeah. So, again, did he have the kosher anyway? Because the tzitzit of the kosher, even without the time, but I think it's a little bit saying the shema.